This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, Tig.
Hey, Cheryl.
Okay, we're back at Brittany again. We're back, bitch. What does it say?
We're back, bitch.
What does Brit? What was the song? What was the song?
That bitch song? When Stephanie and I went to her Vegas show, I saw these people with hats on that said bitch or something like that. Or, oh, I'm Brittany, bitch. Is that what she said?
Yeah, that sounds right.
But also there's some other way that she used bitch. And I remember sitting down, because I'm not very familiar with Britney's.
You gotta work, bitch?
Oh, yeah. Her hat said, you better work, bitch. And I remember reading those hats being like, well, that's rude. I didn't know it had to do with Britney.
So aggressive.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was.
You thought people were just singling you out.
Or like, just singling people out that aren't working, you know? Should we get into it?
Oh my God. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Britney versus Spears.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
Hey, Tig, hey. I was just reading some of our comments on Instagram from our last podcast, which are hilarious.
What did they say?
Just people talking about, you know, like the van, and there's just a lot of...
What do you mean the van?
Well, when I was talking about my dad had the van...
Oh, with the rolling chair?
Yeah, with the rolling office chair. I think a lot of people have some people have some interesting experiences.
Well, like what?
Well, you go on Instagram and look at Tig and Cherry. It's weird when I can't even pronounce my own name.
Oh, you know what I saw that I
What'd
found?
You see?
On iTunes,
yeah,
somebody left a comment saying how you really shine in this show.
Oh,
and that they said they used to be a fan of mine. And in fact, their sign-in handle was Tig Fan from 2012 to 2019. And they said something about me thinking I'm too good for everything or everyone or something. And I
Whoa.
Was like, wow.
Whoa, high horse.
I found it interesting that they felt like once the pandemic hit, I felt like I was too good for anybody while I was on lockdown doing podcasts.
You were really braggadocious.
I was accessible before that. And then it was just like, you know what? There's a pandemic. I'm staying home with my family and I'm doing podcasts.
She did not come out for nobody.
What do you suppose that is? What do you suppose makes me think I'm better than everyone?
Well, I mean, now you're like a big fancy movie star and you brag about it a lot and you're always talking about getting tapped for different.
Okay, right. But this is all factual. It doesn't mean I'm better than anyone. It just means I am a movie star getting tapped. But do you feel that that describes me? Is that I think I'm too good for everything?
No, I think it's just the opposite. I think that you think that you're, you know, it's not like you wear fancy, flashy clothes and you're driving the flashy car. And you're
I'm in Mississippi right now.
in your cousin's house.
I'm not even staying at a hotel. I'm like staying with my family. And yeah. I was just out on the beach barefoot and truly a crab almost bit my toe.
Yeah, because that crab didn't know who you were.
Well, but I'm just.
Yeah, you're keeping it real. Listen. I feel like you're keeping it real.
I feel like I'm keeping it, like, maybe a little too real.
Below real.
And also, can't people experience something other than barefoot crab bite and toe moments in life?
Yeah, you should be able to. Yes. Yeah. Mm-mm. That's one of the things about people's opinions coming in at you, mm-hmm. because... Mm-hmm. You can read 1,000 positive ones, uh-huh. but the one that says something other than that.
Trust me, that isn't the first one that I've heard. I was more amused by a timeline.
I like the timeline.
Yeah, that was the part that made me laugh.
Because it seems like there was something that person happened, was like, I'm out.
2012 to 2019, they were on board. And then the pandemic came.
And they were out.
I started to act like I was too good for everything and everyone. And I was one of the most hardcore lockdown. I was home playing marbles with toddlers.
Kids, yeah.
Anyway. All right.
You can't please everybody.
And I don't.
No. No, you don't. And by the way, this is a nice segue into our documentary today. This is somebody who cannot please everybody.
No.
I mean, nobody can. Today, we're talking about Britney versus Spears. Mm-hmm. It's a 2021 documentary directed by Aaron Lee Carr, whose previous credits include Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, which we covered.
Yes.
Carr and journalist Jenny Eliscu. Eliscu?
No way to know.
I'm going to say it's Eliscu. Reframe the story of pop star Britney Spears' personal life and career with a focus on the details of her conservatorship. Britney versus Spears is available to watch on Netflix. Oh my God.
What?
If there was a drinking game.
Yes.
If you want to get drunk while you watch a documentary, every time they say conservatorship, mm-hmm. you have to take a drink.
Is it conservatorship or conservatorship?
Why? What was I saying?
Conservativeship?
Oh, conservatorship?
That's what I thought.
You think it should be tour?
This might be another example of me thinking I'm better than you, but I thought it was...
conservatorship.
I don't know. I'm asking truly because I don't know. I watched a whole movie on it and I've read about these ships. And wasn't
and you still don't know. Well, we have a clip. Do you want to just go right to a clip of Jenny Eliscu breaking down the details of Britney's conservatorship?
Yeah, yeah.
According to the papers filed with the court on February 6, 2008, the conservators have access to all documents and records related to Britney's estate.
Conservator.
They can enter and take possession of her house, kick people out. They can issue restraining orders and employ security guards. They can use Britney's money to pay attorneys for legal matters involving the estate. They can open and operate businesses, hire people for just about any position necessary, and pay them using funds from the estate.
Conservator. Conservator.
And then there's conservatee. Would there ever be a conservateeship?
Well, the conservatee is the person they're representing.
I was kidding.
Oh.
I really like those two women.
Oh, you did?
You didn't.
Well, can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, once again, it's like these documentaries, is this all these two ladies do all day? It feels like they just get up in the morning and they're like, let's talk about Britney all day long, and then we'll go to sleep and we'll get up in the morning and talk about Britney again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really assert themselves into Britney's life. It seems bizarre to me. Am I the only one that thinks this is bizarre?
I mean, I don't follow the Britney Spears thing very closely. I've seen these two documentaries, and to be honest, they're not topics. It's not a topic that I wouldn't have watched it if we didn't have this hit sensation of a podcast. I'm invested in the way that I care that, you know, she be fairly treated in her life, just as everyone should be. But I don't know. I think I particularly liked the, what is she, a Rolling Stone journalist?
Yeah, reporter.
Yeah. Maybe she kind of reminded me of Karen Kilgariff. You know her?
No.
Oh, she's this incredible stand-up comic, musician, writer. I think she was the showrunner on Ellen's show and for Rosie on her show. And then she has a podcast called My Favorite Murder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the biggest podcast in the world. She's just unusually funny. And not that I think the Rolling Stone reporter seems like, oh, this is the funniest person alive, and she gives Karen Kilgariff a run for her money. There's just something about her
likeable that you connected to.
Where I was like, oh, she kind of reminds me of Karen.
Listen, she seems nice enough. It's just that I'm so distracted by looking at their apartments when they're on camera, because I'm like, wow, how can they afford these fancy...
How do you know that's where they live? So I've done interviews where people set me up in a house. That happens to you too. When you get interviewed, you get set up in like a house or living room looking area.
Right.
And there's moments where I think, oh my God, I hope nobody thinks this is my house.
This is my living room.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the journalist Jenny, let's just call her Jenny. She seems to get really involved in, I guess she considers herself friends with Britney.
She probably, and this part I felt like could be construed as odd, but I feel like there are interviewers and reporters that I've dealt with numerous times over the year, the same people that have interviewed me several times, where I wouldn't say I'm friends with them, but it's really great to see them when they're interviewing me. You know?
Right. You're friendly. It's a friendly face, and you're happy to see them. Okay.
Yeah.
So in 2007, Britney Spears divorces Kevin Federline. Mm-hmm. Just to recap, was he a backup dancer and that's how they met?
Don't know. Okay. We're obviously not as invested as Jenny is.
No, there are people out there listening that are like, yes, of course, everybody knows that. Or they're like, that is the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard. But anyway, in my mind, that's how they met. Doesn't matter. Now they're divorced. It's 2007. And the paparazzi, this was, you know, a hard part to watch. And same from the other documentary, just that the paparazzi could make so much money off of a picture of Britney, and they would just follow her around, and you know, they could get $100,000 for one picture.
What do you suppose a picture of you would fetch for? Because if it's a nice sum,
I have to pay people to put them.
I'm gonna take a picture of you in your closet with glasses on. But what do you think people have ever bought a picture of you or snapped a photo and exchanged cash?
I will tell you this.
Oh, boy.
And I don't want this to be a braggadocious alert, but, okay, granted, this was years ago.
What, how many years?
Probably 10.
Okay.
Okay. It's only relevant because you'll hear why. But I was with my daughter, and we were eating frozen yogurt, and this paparazzi, if there's only one paparazzi, are they called paparazzo?
Yeah.
Do you know that to be true?
A paparazzo. A meatball.
He's a paparazzo.
Hey, mamma mia. Hey, they originated in Italy. Hey, mwah.
It is a very Italian sounding word. A paparazzi. Anyway, the paparazzo came over and he gave me his card.
Nice. Nice, Cheryl.
And he said, if you ever want to make a little money, you're going to the beach, you're going to be in your bathing suit, call me. I'll snap a few pics. They'll pay top dollar. And I'll give you a kickback.
How much did you make?
What if, like, the next day I'm like, hey, paparazzo, I'm at the beach.
And then what he doesn't tell you is that he recorded himself telling you that and then recorded your phone call.
Oh, my God. That would be so sad.
And then didn't pay you a dime. He just put that online of you being like, hey, paparazzo, hey, it's Cheryl. I am on the beach looking fine.
Look, I got a blowout.
I am all by myself walking along the beach. Waiting for you.
And then he's like, jump out from behind a rock.
He's like, I'll be right down there. I am snapping some pics of Tig on the beach in Mississippi. She's in her board shorts.
Topless.
Topless with her scars out.
With her scars out. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Let's give our listeners a break.
And when we get back, we're going to really dive into the documentary.
Yeah, so let's give everyone a break and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back.
Okay, so then Brittany met this one, a paparazzo, named Adnan Galib?
No way of knowing.
No way of knowing, who was, I guess, sweet to her, pumped her gas at the gas station. And then she started asking where he was when the...
She took a liking to him.
Mm-hmm. And then
was
they started
dating.
Was it
just as a friend?
No, then they... Did you watch the documentary?
I did, but at first, was it just a friendship or she was like, hello, hey. Paparazzo.
Hello, paparazzo. That's hard to know.
Okay.
I mean, Brittany is... She's a bit of a complicated personality.
What makes you say that?
Well, she's been living in such extreme circumstances for so long.
Yes.
Right? It's not like she's, I don't want to say normal. Nobody wants to say the word normal anymore. But let's say, typical. That's what people say now.
Run of the mill.
She's not the run-of-the-mill girl, like a 20-year-old who thinks a guy is cute, mm-hmm. you know, at a bar would be like, oh, hi, what do you do? Do you live around here? And instead, she's like meeting a...
Is that your pickup line? Did we just get a peep into your... Oh, hi, do you live around here? If somebody said that to me at a bar, I would burst out laughing.
Well, what's your pickup line?
Well, I don't think I've ever picked up on anybody, but I would certainly not go up and say, oh, hi, do you live around here?
Well, it's not the first question you ask, but you're like, oh, I see you're drinking.
So wait, have you picked up on anyone before? Or do you wait to be picked up on?
Back in the day.
Oh, boy.
Haven't I told you this story before?
Probably, but let's hear it again. Roll the film.
I had sort of a foolproof pickup situation.
Oh, okay, what is it?
Well, I've always had guy friends. So I would go out to bars with my guy friend. And then if there was a cute guy.
Yes.
I would walk over and say, can you act like you're talking to me for a second? Because that guy will not leave me alone. And then my friend is staring at me.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the guy is like, are you okay?
That's so good.
And, I said, yeah, I'm okay. It just it would feel better if you just, if it seemed like we know each other, or we're just like having a good time, because maybe he'll leave us alone.
Oh, my God. You dirty rat.
You dirty.
And it works?
Yeah, it always works because people are nice, you know, and they're like.
But like after they get talking to you, they're.
Well, then if you don't like them, then you can just be like, oh, okay. You know, you can give your friend a signal like you can leave now mm-hmm. and then you can walk away. Or, you know, if you end up really liking the guy and you end up connecting, you can say, can I tell you a secret? That I know that guy. I just wanted to come
talk to you. I have crabs.
I'm not telling you a secret. I have crabs. Could you imagine? That's the worst pickup line. That has to be the number one worst pickup line I've ever heard.
Can I tell you a secret?
And they lean in and they're like, yes.
I have crabs. I have scabies. I picked up an old dirty couch off the side of the road and got scabies from it.
I have crabs.
Oh, God. Or can I tell you a secret? I went to CVS and I checked out on the herpes detector.
And I'm clean. You're just like, oh, did you think you had it? Yeah. Well, I just went to
Walgreens. I mean, I always think I have it. Just because my crotch itches so much.
It's just the symptoms, but not the disease, which is great.
It's so weird. Anyway, do you live around here?
We've really got to get back out to bars. I mean, that was a pretty good pickup line, wasn't it?
Did you make that up on your own?
Yeah. I also think that's some guys' pickup lines.
Mm-hmm.
If you're standing there... And, you know, some guy at the bar starts talking to you. There's another guy standing by that goes, do you need to be saved? Do you want me to start talking to you?
Mm. See, I thought you meant like saved, like Jesus.
Like Jesus?
Yeah. Do you need to be saved?
Did your soul need to be saved?
I truly, I'm not sure if I have picked up on anybody.
Well, what about, remember the one story that you said about the girl who was like, hey, do you want to come to my place? I live right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Her paintings of her. Yeah, because she was painting that. Yeah. But I wasn't picking up on her.
Oh, she was picking up on you.
I was sweeping up at this coffee shop I worked at. And I saw
braggadocious alert. See, this is exactly what we're talking about.
As you sit in your closet. Yeah, when I saw her painting pictures of her sitting on Mary Tyler Moore's lap, when I saw her drawing these sketches, I was so intrigued that I asked about them. But I wasn't hitting on her. But she said, yeah, I have a whole series. Do you want to come back to my place and see them? Oh. I was like, okay.
Nope.
You know? And then I was like, Well, okay. She's cute, and this is weird, and I like weird.
Lean into it.
Painter people, I guess, right now. But I just, when I'm thinking of, if I really, I think I've talked about this either on this show or my other podcast, Don't Ask Tig, but I feel like I've had moments where people thought I was hitting on them or they thought I really liked them. And I had to kind of reevaluate how I interacted.
Presented yourself to
people. Yeah, yeah.
As fascinating as that is, we've really got to circle back to Britney versus Spears. We have not, you know how far we've gotten? We've gotten nowhere. She started a relationship with Adnan. Adnan. Okay. And then here's what I don't understand about, I'm bringing this up
again.
Well,
let me clarify it for you. Go on.
Where is the rest of Britney's family in all of these stories? Where is her mom? Where is her brother? Where is her sister?
Well, didn't her sister live in Louisiana?
Yeah, but I mean, she's a grown woman now, is she not? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think she stayed in Louisiana.
Yeah, but she can get on a plane and come help her sister, don't you think? If Dr. Becky Hines thought that somebody was
estranged.
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. Is she estranged from her? Although she said she bought her brother a house or an apartment or something.
$2 million apartment?
Yeah, so it's like, where are the...
Yeah, but once you get the $2 million apartment, why keep in touch? Just like, I'm good.
I just don't understand. I don't understand. Okay. And then Sam Lutfi. You know, I watched this whole thing and I honestly can't really tell you what Sam Lutfi was.
Well, Sam was somebody that it seems like came in as a friend who started taking care of everything.
Like
and
a
then
manager?
Took on some sort of management job, whether he was technically that or not. He seemed to be managing something. You know, as I always say about managers, you can just wake up any day and say, I'm a manager.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no
qualification.
You can say you're...
You don't have to go
no.
to a...
And you could...
A school.
Management school. No, you can just be a manager and just be a buffoon and just be like, I don't have any clients yet, but I'm a manager.
That's like a life coach. I mean, does anybody have to have training to be a life coach?
Well, there are certifications for life coaching. And before you rip into this, I am...
Are you a certified life coach?
No, but I'm potentially going to get a plant-based nutrition coaching certification. I already have a plant-based nutrition certificate, but I might get a coaching certificate.
Tig, we have to take a break. If we come back, we're really going to... Listen, we're really going to get down to business.
We'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back. Now, if you would, tell us about this documentary and stay on track.
Okay. So, 2008, Britney goes to the hospital after locking herself in her room and refusing to give her kids back to K-Fed's bodyguard. And then after being largely absent in her life, enters Jamie Spears. See, this doesn't... I know this is not the popular take on this, but this doesn't seem that...
You feel like she should have a conservatorship.
It doesn't seem unreasonable that she has a breakdown and has to go to the hospital and her dad comes into the picture. I mean, that seems like a normal response.
Yeah, so far it makes sense that the dad would come into the picture.
So far we're all,
But I think that it goes a little off the rails the way that they secured this contract, in that she had absolutely no control, because people can go off the rails and get counseling or treatment, but they don't have a conservatorship.
Yeah, but I mean, the question is, who was in her life that could take care of her when this was happening? I guess she had Adnan and Sam Lutfi. But by the way, people said that Sam was drugging Brittany, that he would crush up drugs and put them in her food. But you want to hear what Sam has to say about this?
And I have to say,
yeah,
I don't know this guy. I don't know Britney Spears. He kind of did not feel like he was lying when he was talking about
it. I know.
How he seemed very straightforward, but also people are insane. I have no idea. This is not my life. I don't know what's going on in the Britney Spears world.
This film, because we are nailing it. All right, let's listen to Jim.
I'm just saying, when he was talking, I was like, he seems very straightforward.
Yeah, let's listen to Sam.
Okay, fine. Press play.
You have 100 blood tests and drug tests the entire time I was with her, and she passed every single one of them, which is why the police never came to my door. No one ever called the police. To be accused of allegations that serious, that you're drugging the world's biggest star, you call the police, you call the FBI, you don't call TMZ. I was the perfect scapegoat.
Why?
I was new, they didn't know who I was. I was just an expendable guy. It's like, all right, if that's what you need.
I think that's a fair point.
Definitely.
If I thought somebody was drugging Dr. Becky Hines, I'm not gonna call TMZ. Not that Becky Hines is Britney Spears.
She's pretty damn close.
She can dance around with the python like nobody's business.
Nobody is Britney Spears except Britney Spears.
Yes.
But next in line, which is a huge drop off, but still next in line is Dr. Becky Hines.
But if I thought somebody was harming her, I would not, he's right. You call the police.
Well, yeah, that's like anybody claiming that there's anything, if you're in any sort of physical harm, you're going to call the police, you're going to call a doctor, you're going to call the right official rather than...
You know who you're not going to call? Louise Taylor.
I thought you were going to say Ghostbusters.
Oh my God.
And I was just going to roll my eyes.
That would be hilarious.
Who's Louise Taylor?
Well, when all this was going down, suddenly this woman, Louise Taylor, just appears and claims to be the spokesperson for the Spears family.
Oh, the Christian woman?
And she has like a picture of her and
Jesus.
Britney Spears' dad getting baptized in the Jordan River. And by the way, I mean, now I am bragging. I just visited the Jordan River.
What do you mean just? Like last week?
Like right before the... I was just there last... Right before this lockdown.
Oh, back when I was likable?
When people still liked you.
When I was still grounded.
You should not go in the Jordan River. It's so polluted and dirty. You definitely don't go underwater.
I have no intention.
But I like that because she posted a picture of them getting baptized in the Jordan River, that people were like, oh, okay, I believe her. She probably is a spokesperson for the Spears family. And then Felicia Collada.
That's the assistant?
Woman. Yeah. She's
real. She is
She's
the queen.
A real character.
She is the queen of not saying something bad about someone, but giving you every face expression and body language that will tell you otherwise. Okay. Well, I'm not going to. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot I could say about her, but I'm not going to. You know what I'm saying?
Not going to say it. Because she said with. They asked her about Louise Taylor, Lou Taylor. And she said, Lou Taylor will chew me up and spit me back out.
Mm.
Okay, so that's her statement. She just doesn't. Yeah, you're right. She never really gets down to brass tacks. She's just.
But she gets beyond brass tacks with her face expressions and nodding her head and her body language. Mm-hmm. She says all she needs to say. She's not going to say anything about her.
I will not talk about that.
Mm-hmm. It's like when somebody says, what do you think about them? She would say, well, as my mama said, if you can't say anything nice about someone, don't say anything at all. Okay? And then
she'd walk away feeling pretty good. Yeah, like I did not say one anything. Bad thing.
I left things completely neutral.
But seriously, now Kevin gets full custody of the kids and Brittany returns to the hospital on another involuntary psychiatric hold. Here's the other thing about being admitted to a psychiatric hospital against your will. If you are really having a psychotic break, you are probably not at a place where you can decide to admit yourself to a psychiatric hospital. It would have to be somebody that you're related to or that loves you that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know? Nobody really knows what was happening with Britney Spears. I mean, I'm not going to be popular, but what if her dad was trying to help? Is that ridiculous?
Well, I mean, it can be both things. There might have been some element of trying to help, then he could have abused his power.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Or he might not have been trying to help. He was just very different than how I'm tapped for movies. But he was tapped to help and got a little greedy and abusive.
Right. And like black or white. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So he doesn't know what he's doing. So he's like, okay, I'm just going to shut it all down.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Adam Streisand?
I feel like, hasn't he come up before?
Yes.
Okay.
In our last, the last documentary, we talked about Adam Streisand.
In the mountain climber? Wait, what?
No, the other documentary about Britney. I'm sure we...
Oh. I see. The last the last Britney documentary.
The last Britney doc. Mm,
okay.
Okay, Jamie Spears is granted temporary conservatorship of Britney, and Jamie Spears and Andrew Wallet become co-conservators of her estate.
Wallet? I mean, if that isn't the perfect name. Oh, don't mind me. my name is Andrew Wallet, and
it sounds like something from a cartoon. I'm Andrew Wallet.
Hello,
and I'm here to study your finances.
Nice to meet you. My name is Andrew Cha-ching.
Like little dollar signs light up in his eyeballs when. Okay, so JB brings back Britney's previously fired manager, Larry Rudolph, and Lou Taylor becomes Britney's business manager. And then on Britney's health assessment, it claims she has dementia.
Mm.
Which also, you know, they were saying that's usually found in an older person. But that's also what I think is interesting about it, because if you were going to make that up, why would you say dementia for a younger person if it's made up? You know, why not say bipolar or something?
So you feel like she has dementia?
My feelings are not facts, but I'm saying, why would a doctor write dementia? That's it. That's the whole thing. It sounded like I was going to go on. Why would a doctor write dementia?
I mean, that's a good point, but I feel like there's probably corruption in areas
Right. And then dementia, how can you prove it? I don't know. How could you prove anybody's mental stability or instability?
I mean, I saw Britney Spears in concert in in Vegas. Well, I don't know if she's stable. I just saw her dancing around.
Yeah. She knew the moves.
She wasn't like, where do I go? What do I do?
Right. The Spears family gets the 5-day notice for conservatorship waived by claiming that Sam Lutfi was an imminent threat to Brittany and that he was drugging her, and Sam denied it. And then Brittany meets with Adam Streisand. Adam advocates for her, and then he was basically shut down. And he said, okay, I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you saw it?
Mm-hmm.
Although, do we have this doctor, Dr. Spar, who is a geriatric psychiatrist, and he was so odd. Why did he agree
to right.
Why did he agree to be interviewed in this? Because he's like,
I'm not saying I did or didn't.
Yeah.
Dr. Spar, tell me about your work.
I am a retired geriatric psychiatrist and still do, you know, the occasional consultation for attorneys, including, you know, contested conservatorships sometimes.
Had you heard of Britney Spears' music before you met her?
You know, I'm not a fan. I don't listen to music of that ilk. But yeah, I know who she is. Wait, before I met her?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm not going to acknowledge that I've ever met her.
Oh. See, he has dementia.
I like that he was like, wait.
Whoa, I'm no fool. Well, hold on.
I am no fool. You are not going to trick me into talking about
my client, Britney Spears. There is no way I am going on the record confirming or denying that I
sat down with Britney Spears.
Yeah, I mean, that's
lot of
none
times.
Of your business, okay?
And we talked about a lot of stuff. Oh, God, that really made me laugh. So now, Jenny, so this is where it gets, I thought this was kind of weird.
Okay.
So Jenny, one of the filmmakers, now she's at the urging of Sam Lufty and Adnan Galib. She secretly meets with Brittany to have her sign paperwork to get a new lawyer for her conservatorship. So I just thought it was strange that this journalist, somehow now these two guys are reaching out to her and they ask her to go to the Montage Hotel in L.A. and Brittany will meet her in a little bathroom to have her sign these papers. It seemed strange.
Well, the whole thing is strange, but I mean, I feel like she would be somebody that's invested in helping her. And then she would also be a little more on the DL. You know, she's not a red flag, right?
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, this document didn't really hold up, and it wasn't, I mean, I'm wondering, I don't know anything about the law.
Well, but they clearly don't either, but they were just trying.
Yeah, I mean, should they have had a witness? Because they said, what if it's not really Britney Spears that signed it?
But it was clearly coming from a good place. I mean, they were trying to help her.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, the question is there something about Britney and Britney's mental state that her dad would know more about than people that she meets?
Quite possibly. I mean, it could be a situation where she gets out of this conservatorship and then she goes haywire in a way that people are like, oh my God. So, you know, we don't know. It's like, right. It wasn't even on my radar that there was any sort of conservatorship before all of the free Britney stuff happened, you know?
There are a lot of people that are really wake up with free Britney on their mind. Okay, now Jamie is granted permanent conservatorship. Britney begins the circus tour, and there's a push to show that she is healthy with little yard for what she actually needs and wants. Although this also, I thought this was odd, because then there was a residency set up for her in Vegas, mm-hmm. right? And then they had an event where she was sort of trotted out,
mm-hmm.
and everybody thought she was going to say something, and she didn't. And then Brittany, even in this documentary, says, yeah, I was told I didn't have to do that, which is contradictory to what everybody's been saying, that her dad was like, she has to earn money all the time, no matter what.
It sounds like you're anti-Britney.
No, I'm not. No, I think
I mean, you might as well be chanting, lock her up.
Oh, my God. No, I want nothing but the best for Britney. And it sounds like whatever they've been doing was not working properly.
No.
So
no.
They could do better.
Mm-hmm. Should we tell people that we had to pause because your internet went out and then you had to drive over to your other house?
No, because that makes me sound like the lady with two houses. I mean, I do have two houses, but only because...
sold this house and it's empty.
This house is completely empty.
Because you sold it, not because you're the lady with two houses.
And in 2 days, I'm never going to be able to walk back into this house again.
Unless you become friends with the person moving in.
Okay, look.
Yep.
Let's just... wind it. Mm-hmm. We're going to wind it.
Let's plow through.
Plow through. Kevin Federline gets a restraining order against Jamie Spears. Nobody likes Jamie Spears. This is clear.
Who is Jamie Spears?
That's her. He no longer is the conservator of her
conservatorship.
And
conservatorship.
Sam Ingham resigns. I'm not sure I know who that is. Oh,
that's her manager, right?
No, he was her attorney that Jamie Spears had hired and was paying.
There's no way to know.
And now Britney is set to appear in court on November 12th of 2021 to ask for the conservatorship to be lifted entirely.
That's coming up. That's in like 3 weeks.
Yeah. So follow along at home if you're at all interested.
And do you think you'll... follow along.
I don't think I will.
You're about as interested as I am.
I
want the best for her too. Yeah, but when people update me about Britney, I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. Or that's so unfortunate. I'm certainly not. I still haven't read a lick of news. I was just telling Thomas that on our break. I haven't read any news.
It's the same crap. I don't think you've missed anything, honestly.
I know I haven't.
It
and
is
my
the
life
same
is
crap.
So much better when I get my little 5-minute NPR update podcast and then I go about my life.
Okay. All right. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Tig, did you cry?
I did not.
Mm-mm.
Did you?
No.
Well,
and
I don't
who
know.
Were you attracted to?
You cried about Bob Ross.
Well, yeah.
And Hands on a Hard Body.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Who was I attracted to?
Yeah.
Britney.
Oh. I liked the one guy that we never talked about. It's weird that he never came up. Oh, Andrew Gallery. He was a filmmaker that they were doing
doesn't ring a bell. Go ahead.
MTV or something called For the Record. Anyway, he was a cinematographer and he became friends with her.
Oh, yes.
Like they became more than friends.
I guess. But then
it's hard to know what that's.
Yeah, because, you know, when he was talking about it, it was like. You think about those kind of friendships where you go, were you interested in her romantically? Or would you find Britney Spears interesting if you met her in Louisiana?
Right.
And she wasn't famous?
Right.
I don't know. But he seemed completely normal and I liked him.
He did. He was cute. Andrew Gallery. He was cute.
Because I have some of those friendships where it's like, would I be friends with you if I met you in Florida? Probably not.
How dare you? I was just thinking, wouldn't it be fun if we met? I was going to say at Hooters, but I don't think I've ever been to Hooters.
I haven't
I was trying
either.
To think of let's say at Chili's. If we met at Chili's.
And during I was having a blooming onion. Oh, wait, you and this guy or me and you?
No, you and me.
Oh, okay. I'm having a blooming onion.
Oh, are you talking about the guy?
Let's talk about me and you. We're okay. In Florida.
We're in Florida.
You're
it's
barefoot walking into the bathroom.
Why am I in a tube top and cutoffs?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, girl, hey.
Yeah,
No, it's not in the bathroom. We can't meet in the bathroom. No, but
well,
we're
no,
at
I'm
the bar.
I'm sitting at the bar having a blooming onion.
Yeah.
And you walk by barefoot to go into the bathroom.
Why do I have to be barefoot at Chili's?
Well, so I'm just thinking of the grossest scenario, which to me is barefoot in a public bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then you would not become friends with me.
No.
You'd but be like, there's the crazy lady.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I'm sitting there having a blooming onion and what now?
And then I come over to you and I'm like, hey, how's the bloomin' onion here?
I would be like, oh boy, somebody has the hots for me.
And then it would all
because
begin.
It's like, why on earth would you come up to some 50-year-old lesbian eating a bloomin' onion and say,
well, if I had to go up to the bar to get my drink and the only place to stand was next to you and your bloomin' onion.
Okay, so you're like, how's the bloomin' onion here? And I'm like, it is fantastic. I highly recommend it.
And then I'd say, oh, can I try yours before I, you know, spend all that money on my own bloomin' onion?
Sure. Pull off a little stick of my bloomin' onion. And then what? When do we get to the point of like exchanging numbers and hanging out?
It's a hard turn to go from that to, hey, call me on Friday.
Right. It's really hard.
It would happen though. It would happen. By the way.
Yes.
Next week, we will be watching the first three episodes of The Way Down, God, Greed, and the Cult of Gwen Shamblin.
Ooh.
Which you can watch on HBO Max.
Mm.
I'm looking forward to that. Also, you can buy True Story merch at podswag.com/truestory.
Plus, it's almost Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. You should start buying your merchandise right now, wrapping it up for grandma.
A good point. That's what I'm going to give everybody I know, whether they want it or not.
Right. Get people a mug that says, don't spill the beans. They won't care if they've never heard of us. They just
stands on its own.
Yeah. So get the merchandise now because it's going to sell out for the holidays.
For sure.
And you're not going to want to be left without a mug. Okay.
Before we go, would you like to hear some true fan mail?
Yes, please.
Nicole B. emails us and says, hey, Nicole B., hey.
Oh, hey, Nicole B., hey.
Oh, God, this is never going to catch
Let's
on.
Let's try and do it in sync. Ready?
Okay.
Hey, Nicole B., hey.
Hey, Tig and Cheryl, love. And then in parentheses, she says, read in the cadence of Cheryl's serious tone.
Love.
Oh, love. Oh, that
love.
Part. Love. Your show. Listening to the Bob Ross episode, my dad also had a white utility van. Super sketchy dude. We would see him every other weekend. And me being the younger sister would always have to ride in the back. No chairs, just a sweet beanbag. A large portion of the floor was rusted out so you could see the road beneath you.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah, to be a kid in the 90s. Anywho, I wonder how many other dads have sketchy white vans. Maybe a new podcast, White Van Dads. I would listen. Again, love the podcast, and thank you for always making me laugh. Oh, my God. I love the beanbag.
Beanbag. That is so smart. My father's van was not white. I believe it was blue.
Mm.
Or green.
And did it have seats?
No, just in the two front seats and then just a big empty van. Not.
This is creepy.
Yeah, a big empty van. Nary a rolling chair or
no tools, no nothing. Just like a big
empty
van.
Well, no, he wasn't. Yeah. He moved a lot, and I don't know if he lived in his van at some point. I really don't know what was going on half the time with my father. But
you can't know when you're a kid. And
you can't know when you're a kid or an adult. Yeah, you can't know.
You can't know
when your dad carries a gun in one cowboy boot and a knife in the other.
Okay, Darcy D says, hey, Darcy D.
Oh, hey, Darcy D. Hey.
My partner is heavily into climbing, and he has gotten me into it, too, although he is mostly an ice climber. I would love to share information I found out after asking very similar questions as you. Online climbs that use several rope lengths, you should not be scurrying into a crack on the wall to poop. Most climbers try to abide by the leave no trace rules. The big wall climbers usually poop into a wag bag because they have rope and things. But apparently Alex Honnold in particular once posted on Instagram apologizing because he had to take a huge shit and was worried about all the other climbers below him.
Wait, he just did it into the open air?
I guess he did, and I guess he just
he's just dangling from a rock.
If you're walking close and just pooped it out.
So he's just dangling from a rock, pulls his pants down, and goes into the wind.
Poops.
Into the wind.
That's right. So if you're anywhere beneath, you could just be minding your own business down
and
by
think a bird
down by
did
the
it.
Rock and just
you could think of bird.
You think it's a bird poop, but it is a giant person.
You're like,
poop.
Oh my gosh, a pterodactyl pooped in my eye. There's for sure still dinosaurs.
When Honnold free soloed, apparently he just poops off the wall. For him, it's harder to keep a secret because he's not pooping in the winter where the smell gets disguised. Oh my God, my partner has a funny story about his friend, an ice climber, who had to take a huge poop that froze. I'm sorry for our listeners if this is your lunch break and this is what you're having to.
Well, you know, sometimes people don't have to be on a lunch break to not want to hear this, Cheryl.
Listen, we should have told you.
That now's this is X-rated.
No. Oh, now's a good time to turn it off if you don't want to hear a poop story.
Okay, so the poop froze.
Yeah, she got called out on this poop in the climbing community very publicly only in the spring once it all melted. Gross.
How did people track her to
this
the poop?
Yeah. Oh, this brings up more questions.
Okay.
I mean, so many questions.
Fire away. Let me answer
Well, I think that's the number one. Or number two, I know. How do you know whose poop is thawing?
And we'll be right back.
No, this is the end. Please, this is the end.
How do you
Darcy
know whose
D,
poop is thawing?
This is crazy. So people are just pooping off. Yeah, they're just pooping off the lid.
Just into thin air.
Or they just are carrying a bag of their own poop.
It's like a dog. Like when you walk in a dog.
Like a dog.
Also, I don't remember before the 90s people carrying poop bags for dogs. Do you? I feel like people just let dogs go. It was
poop.
Yeah, and then you just keep walking.
And then all of a sudden there's a problem.
Yeah, it's like everyone's up in arms in the 90s and after about dog poop all over the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know what I do? Don't tell anybody. I hate picking up dog poop so much that I'll just find a giant leaf and gently set it on top of the poop.
No! Cheryl!
I don't want to pick it up. But I also don't want people to step on it, so I make sure it's covered.
What if there's no giant leaf?
I mean, if I have to pick it up, I will. But sometimes, sometimes I'll just bend over if somebody can see me.
Oh my!
To make it look like I'm going through. Listen, I don't particularly like dog walking for this very reason.
Well, but am I right? Like the 70s,
Yeah, the 70s, people would have thought you were insane. Even if in the 80s.
Walking around with a sack of poop.
Yeah, if your dog pooped and you immediately picked it up and put it in a bag and carried it around with you for the next 30 minutes, people would be like, gross. Stay away from that lady.
Yeah, put a big leaf on it. You psychopath. Here, take this big leaf.
But thank you, Darcy D. That was a...
Do you think the D stands for dog poop? Or for... Sorry. Do you think the D stands for dump? Darcy Dump?
Well, she doesn't want to be known as that. These are friends of friends. She made it clear this was not her.
Well, I wasn't listening. You know I don't listen.
But I can you imagine this conversation that she had with these people? I always wonder about scuba divers. I guess it's like, I guess you hold it. Nobody's pooping in their scuba.
Unless you have a bean burrito. Oh,
no. We're back to this.
Whatever you do. Do not eat a bean burrito before you scuba dive, or else that train is a-coming.
Our listeners really learned so much. They're so glad they tuned into this friggin'. Okay. Tig.
Yeah.
You want to tell people how much we love hearing their messages?
We love it. Oh, my gosh. We love it.
Your comments and your reviews.
We read them.
We really do. And they crack me up. You guys are
They're
really
very funny.
People.
Even the ones that tell us that there's an expiration date on their fandom for us. We're okay. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. All right.
I mean, ideally, you keep liking us. But if my greatest hits were 2012 to 2019, so be it. And I became unrelatable in 2020. That's fine. But keep writing. We're reading them, and we just might read yours on the show, and we might give you a hey, girl, hey.
That's right.
Terribly done.
Terribly done.
And if you still haven't seen Tig Notaro Drawn on HBO or HBO Max, watch it. And Star Trek is about to start, too.
So is Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's about to premiere.
Are you on that?
I am on that.
And I have a tour. A major national tour that I'm about to announce any day now. So check out my social media and listen to my podcasts, this or Don't Ask Tig, and you're going to hear it's a major market tour, the big cities. So if I don't hit your city, don't complain about it. Just get in your little car, hop on a train, whatever you got to do, hitchhike, and head over to the nearest city. Because
it'll be worth it.
It'll be worth it. And Cheryl and I also have a very big surprise to announce about Tig and Cheryl. You look like you know what I'm talking about.
No, but are you announcing it?
No, because we haven't.
This is a tease.
I'm just saying you have to keep listening because my tour dates are coming soon. Our big secret that we're going to reveal is coming soon.
Yes.
All right. Well, should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.